I wonder if you got the sermon yet tonight. God already gave us a sermon. So I guess He wants us to hear too this evening. Because He already graciously gave us one. Did you get it? The Bible says in Ephesians 5:18, "Be not drunk or filled and controlled with wine, wherein is excess, but be ye filled." Be ye being continually filled with the Holy Ghost. Be being continually filled and controlled with the Holy Spirit. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, I'm grateful to God this evening that I was able to hear and see a sermon tonight already. I'm sure that you sensed that life which comes from God flowing out of the hearts of those young people who sang to us this evening. That's a sermon, dear people. That's a sermon to us. That's a great challenge to every one of us as we sit here this evening. And I thank God for the sermon that He gave us. Maybe you noticed this evening that many of the young people gave a testimony of coming here thinking they were born again, but getting born again sometime during the week. Let me tell you how that happened, dear people. It is because the clear standard of what a New Testament Christian life is was lifted up all week long. And that standard of a New Testament Christian life is God's standard, brothers and sisters. You know, when you sit in an atmosphere where the presence of God is here and you're not born again, and that standard is clearly lifted up, and that standard rises up in the midst of the people, and the atmosphere rises with it, all of a sudden you realize, I do not have what these people have. That is a beautiful revelation, dear people. We are blessed. You young people are blessed to have been able to come and sensed an atmosphere of the presence of God, that you were able to come and hear the standard of the New Testament of what a real Christian is supposed to be. You were blessed to be able to come and see that and hear it and have the revelation of God's will laid out in your heart and your life. You know, it's interesting to me when the young people come, you know, many of them even said, you know, I came and I thought, I'm going to hold out, I'm going to get through this week and I'm going to go home and about my own life. But you know what? You can't do that. When God draws near, you cannot do that. Or it takes a whole lot of effort to do that. And we praise God that His Spirit, through the prayers of so many, broke down those hearts and they were born again.
Amen.
And I wonder where we are tonight. I wonder where we are. The voice of God has been calling us all week here in this auditorium. He has been calling us. It's been beautiful to watch the young people respond to that call. It was not the call of a teacher. It was not the call of a preacher. It was not the call of all the principals who spoke to them so many times. No, it was not the call of those. It was the voice of God speaking to the hearts. He has called us in many practical ways. He has called us to repentance this week. He has called many to a clear, born-again salvation experience. He has called us to a deeper walk with God this week. Brother Rick reminded us that we are partakers of the heavenly calling. Well, we've been partaking of that heavenly calling this week. Which is, by the way, the voice of God speaking into the soul of man and calling man to draw nearer to God. That's what we've been hearing this week. Brother Mose challenged us this morning to make our calling and election sure. God's been calling us all through this week. I've been meditating upon this word, calling, some through the week, and been richly blessed to discover the deeper meaning of the word calling. It literally means invitation. It literally means invitation. And that's the title of my little message here this evening, and it won't be a long message, but the title of the message is God's Invitation. I don't know if you notice it, dear friends, dear people, parents who have come here, maybe just a visitor who came to hear the singing. Did you hear the voice of God's invitation this evening speaking to you? As the young people stood up here and sang their songs with souls that have been set free by the power of God, washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Did you hear the invitation of God coming out to you this evening? You see, God's voice is always calling, isn't it? The problem with us so many times, we are not in the place to where we can be in tune to hear that voice as it calls. But when you begin to bring yourself in tune to be able to hear with the ears of your heart, you immediately begin to hear the voice of God calling. The Bible says in Titus that the grace of God has appeared unto all men in these last days. Amen? Calling. Calling us. God has been inviting us all week. All week long He's been inviting us. Come. Come unto Me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. Come. Come, know Me better. Come. Draw near to Me. Come. Come bring your sins to Me. I'll get rid of them. Come. Come for a deeper walk with Me. Come. Come for a clearer revelation of who I am. All week long we've been hearing the voice of God calling. And the voice of God is still calling this evening, dear people. He hasn't stopped. And we thank God for that. He's been inviting us all week long. And you know, when you begin to see the glorious good news of the gospel, you begin to see why it is an invitation, isn't it? It's an invitation. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. And oh, my dear people, that's not something that happens when you die. That happens the moment you enter into the kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ. Or whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. May God help us this evening to hear His voice, because He's been calling all week. He's been calling us out of darkness and into His marvelous light. Amen, students?
Amen.
He's been calling us to glory and virtue, 2 Peter chapter 1 says. He's been calling us to holiness. Holiness in motive. Holiness in thought. Holiness in action. He has been calling us with a holy calling according to His purposes, which He purposed in Christ Jesus before the world began. That's what God has been doing. We've been listening to His voice. He's been making clear His purposes. He's been clarifying His plans for our lives. Oh, my dear people, God is also calling you this evening. He's trying to make clear to you His purposes. He's trying to make clear to you the plan that He has for your life. Oh, do you believe it, my dear people, tonight? God has a plan for your life, every single one of you. He has a beautiful plan for your life. There's only one problem. That plan never comes clear into the eyes of our heart until we begin to draw near to God and allow God to purge us and cleanse us. We won't see that plan. We can flop around for years and never know what God's plan was for our life. Oh, what a sad way to live here on this earth, wandering around in a wilderness, stumbling around in a wilderness, up one day and down the next, when all the time God would have had a beautiful Canaan laid out there for us. It's part of His plan, dear people. A beautiful life in the land of Canaan, planned for each and every one of us. He's been calling us this week. He has called us to be saints. Amen. And it's an invitation. I want to extend these invitations to you and more tonight. I want to extend them to you. Now it's our turn, brothers and sisters, visitors. Now it's our turn. Just think about it with me for a moment. Just think about it with me. Do you know why these young people that sang to us this evening have bright faces and they're excited and they sang those songs with all their hearts, with free and clear hearts? Do you know why? Do you have any idea? The groanings, the pain, the humiliations, the repenting that has gone on in this place through this week. Do you have any idea? Those things don't happen by accident. You don't find young people all excited about Jesus, filled with the fervor of God, ready to do whatever God wants them to do. You don't just find those standing around here and there. That's not an easy thing. There's a price tag on young people like that. And by the way, the same price tag is for each and every one of us. Amen? Oh, we thank God for the sweet spirit of revival that has been in this place all week long. But let me tell you something, dear people, dear friends, dear moms and dads. We've been praying for you all week long. We've been seeking God that He would produce such an atmosphere in this place that not only the young people would be stirred, not only the young people would meet God while they're here, but mom and dad would meet God, and the visitor down the street would meet God, and whoever else came in here to hear some good singing tonight would meet God while they're here. That's been our burden. That's what we've been praying for. So I want to extend these invitations to you. God is still calling, dear people. He's calling tonight. Oh, would you open up the ears of your heart to hear the voice of God? Come, He says, be partakers of the divine nature. Come, He says, and escape the pollutions of the world through lust. Come, He says, to the spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Come, He says, and be holy and without blame before Him in love. Come, He says, and abound in wisdom and knowledge. This is the invitation that God gives to us. He gives the same invitation to you if you're here tonight and you're not born again. He gives the same invitation to you as He does to the child of God who rejoices in all that they saw and heard tonight. He gives the same invitation. Come. Come unto Me. Come. Be filled with the Spirit of the living God. Come into my kingdom. Come. Be blessed. Come. Find a life you never knew you'd ever have. God gives you an invitation tonight. Will you hear the invitation? An invitation to a life. Note that. An invitation to a life which is called the pearl of great price in the book of Matthew. Come, sell all you have and buy the pearl of great price, which is a life, my dear people. It is a life. It's not a ticket to heaven. It is a life that you enjoy now in this life. It's a life that you live now in this life. Praise God, when it's all said and done, yes, we do get to go to glory.
Praise God, man.
But it's an invitation. It's a call to a life called a treasure hidden in a field in the book of Matthew. It's not an invitation to heaven, my friend. It's an invitation into a whole new life. You know what it is? It is an eternal life that you enter into and you can walk in as long as you choose to. You can walk in that eternal life. You can walk under an open heaven. You can know that there's victory in the Lord Jesus Christ. You can join some of the young people and testify that there's victory over my sins. You may look on and think, well, these young people, they're fired up. They've been in Bible school all week and they're excited and they're full of enthusiasm. Oh, my dear friends, they are not excited because they are at Bible school. They are excited because God has set them free. And God has set them free because they were willing to groan, get down on their knees, open up their life, get honest before God, and yea, even a little prayer group of 10 or 12. That's why they're free tonight. And oh, my dear people, God wants all of us to be free if we are also willing to pay the same price and get honest before God. And yea, maybe even honest with somebody else and say where we really are. I wonder where you are tonight. Is it well with your soul when you came here tonight? Parents, where are you tonight? Are you ready for these youth to come back home? Will you invite them back into a fertile soil, a fertile atmosphere, a dedicated atmosphere at home? Are you ready for these young people? I'd like us to read in Matthew chapter 22, as I was studying this word, calling, realizing that it was an invitation. The Lord led me to this place in Matthew chapter 22, which is an account of an invitation. And I don't believe that God is saying here, this is an invitation to go to heaven. It's an invitation into the kingdom, my dear people. It's an invitation into the kingdom. See, so many times we read these parables, you know, and we kind of put them in our own little slot. And we say, okay, this parable, yeah, that's for those who are not Christians. And so I don't need to read that and I don't need to look at that. Oh, maybe we need to come back around and take another look at some of these parables in the Bible. Because Jesus said in Matthew chapter 22 and verse 2, the kingdom of heaven is like. The kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king which made a marriage for his son, and sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding. Bidden, that's invited, by the way, and it's the same Greek word as called. They were bidden to the wedding. They were invited. And they would not come. Amazing thought, isn't it? You know, it's one thing to look at this parable and say God invited them to heaven and they didn't want to have anything to do with it. But you know, if you take that little thought and push it aside for a moment, and then it spreads out to every one of us that are here, and we realize God is not just calling me to go to an altar somewhere and pray a prayer and say, okay, now I'm born again and I'm going to go to heaven someday. I don't need to read this parable anymore. But God is calling us into His kingdom. He's calling us into a life. He's calling us into a sacrificial life. He's calling us to give up our own life that we may enter into His life. But they wouldn't come. They wouldn't come. Again, He sent forth other servants saying, tell them which are bidden, behold, I have prepared my dinner and my oxen and my fatlings are killed and all things are ready. Come unto the marriage. Oh, just look at it for a minute tonight, brothers and sisters. Hear God saying, I have made all the provisions that need to be made for you to come into the kingdom of God while you walk upon this earth. Come. The fatling has been killed. Everything is ready. The Master has spread the table. Come and dine. But they made light of it. They made light of it. Imagine that. They made light of it. And they went their ways, one to his farm and another to his merchandise. And the remnant took his servants in and treated them spitefully and slew them. But when the king heard thereof, he was wroth, and he sent forth his armies and destroyed those murderers and burned up their cities. Then saith he to his servants, the wedding is now ready. You know what that's talking about, those verses we just read? Jesus is speaking to the children of Israel. He's speaking to the people who live in Jerusalem in the day that He is there. Let me ask you a question. Did those people reject a road to heaven? Did they reject a ticket to heaven? Or did they reject a whole kingdom? Which one? They rejected the whole kingdom. Jesus came preaching repentance and said, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. They didn't just say, we don't believe His little story about heaven. No, they rejected the whole kingdom. That's an awesome thing to do in light of the fact that the Father in heaven has prepared the banquet. He sent His Son already. His Son has already died. His Son has already spilt His blood on Calvary 2,000 years ago. Every provision is made for us to enter into that kingdom and know the joyful sound of a soul that has been set free. But they made light of it. I got better things to do. I got a farm to take care of. I got my business to take care of. And then saith he to his servant, the wedding is ready, but they which were bidden were not worthy. They were not worthy. Go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as ye shall find, bid to the marriage. So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all, as many as they found, both bad and good, and the wedding was furnished with guests. Awesome parable when you look at it in light of that. God is calling us tonight. God is calling us to accountability. God is calling us to see what we will do. What will we do with the plea that He gives to us? What will we do with the needs that are in our heart? What will we do with that which we brought to this meeting tonight? What will we do with it? I want to encourage you to follow the example of these young people and hit the mourner's bench when the time comes. They've been hitting the mourner's bench all week long. Are you willing? Or are you too busy? too busy. Too many other things you got going. Oh, I'll go to church. I'll sing the songs. But I got my big business that I'm going to take care of. Oh, I'll go and I'll put on and I'll sing and I'll say, but I've got a lot of other things that I'm going to do. I'm telling you, my friend, God is calling you into His kingdom. And a life lived in the kingdom is very different than the religious life of this community that we live in here. It's very different. We pride ourselves for having made a decision back there somewhere, but there's no reality today. It's not good enough to make a decision back there somewhere if there's no reality today. We challenge the young people this week, is your salvation up to date? Are you living in the reality, in the good of the salvation of Jesus Christ? Or are you just kind of sitting there looking back to a day and saying, yes, back there, and yes, something happened there, and yes, I went to an altar, and yes, I went through instruction class, and yes, I was baptized back there, but there's no reality now. If there's no reality now, you're in a dangerous place, my friend. God is giving us all an invitation to reality in Christ. That's what we've been about here all week long. Reality. Is Christ real to you? We challenge the young people. And I challenge you with the same words. God is giving us an invitation to be conformed into the image of His Son, Jesus Christ. He's giving us an invitation to truly be partakers of the heavenly calling. The heavenly calling. I'll say a word, a few words, a few parents. Every Bible school, I think I'm right. Every Bible school, at least one of the teachers, and usually more than one, addresses the issues of authority with the young people. We ask them. We get pretty specific. We plowed pretty hard on them this week. Where are you at with your mom and dad? Are you under your mom and dad's authority? Have you given your heart to your mom and dad? Can you say to mom or to dad, come into my bedroom, go through my closet, go through all my music, check it all out, deal with anything you want to? We've been challenging in that way this week. But what about you, mom and dad? Some of the young people weep through that session. Every year, they weep through the session. Because they don't know how to wade their way through the whole thing with a mom or a dad or both that are lukewarm, that are not committed to God. And the young people know it. They wade through this thing, you know. Submit to my mom, submit to my dad. And it's right to submit to mom and dad, young people. It's right. Even if they're failing, it's right. God will bless you and honor you for it. But oh, we groan sometimes as we teach and we deal with them in the prayer room as they groan their way through that and try to figure out how they can do this. It's not right. It's not right. How many times do we say to each other, where's the dad? Where's the dad? Oh, for a dad. We do. We struggle. We wrestle with it a bit. Whole week you pour your life into these young people and they pray and they seek God and things get clear only to send them back home into this rocky, home life and division and tensions and uncommitment and an unreality of Christianity. And we send them back into that and say, Jesus will take care of you. You'll be able to make it. We tremble sometimes. Sorry for stepping on your toes. But listen. It's true. God's grace is sufficient. But oh, they would run if you would be there for them. They would run. I know they would. They would run. And I don't know who I'm talking to. I don't know who I'm talking to. I'm just giving the things that God laid on my heart to share. And wherever they go and wherever they fit, amen, let them fit. And if they don't fit, then you pray for the others. We send them home to try by God's grace to deal with a mom and a dad who's lost their first love. The fire doesn't burn in their heart anymore. Oh, what a joy if we could send them home to a household that is united in Christ, one that is saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen? What a joy! Many of them will go home to confess, and it's right to confess. They've got some things to go home and make right with mom and dad. Wouldn't it be a blessed joy if mom and dad would also just break their heart in the middle of the confession meeting and say, I'm not right either. Please forgive me for failing you. I tell you what, that'd be a sweet family revival, wouldn't it? I just wonder where you're at with God tonight. I just wonder. Spirit of God is calling. He's inviting us, every one of us. There's more, dear people. There's more than what you know. There's more than that anemic Christian life that you've been living. There's more. Way more. But God just doesn't change. You know, He wrote the covenant, didn't He? He's the one who wrote that covenant. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then, and only then, will I hear from heaven and heal their life, heal their home, heal their church, or maybe even heal the land where you live. God is calling you out of a wilderness of wandering, out of a wilderness of ups and downs, to a steady, stable life in the land of Canaan. Will you heed the call? I wonder, have you been born again? Do you know the reality of the Christian life? Are you a real Christian? One who loves God with all your heart? Who loves the Word of God? Who loves to see God? Who loves the things of God? Are you born again? You know, I've learned in 25 years of ministry that it's not just young people who thought they were born again and then all of a sudden discovered that they were not. It's not just young people. Many times it's moms and dads. You see, some of those young people grow up and become moms and dads before they figure the whole thing out. Sometimes the moms and dads didn't have such an opportunity that the young people had to be examined and to examine themselves all week and sit in an atmosphere where everybody's seeking God all week long. Maybe mom and dad didn't get such an opportunity as that. And so there they sit as the years go by, just one year after another. There they sit with an anemic Christian life, trying to make this whole Christian thing work, but it doesn't work, and you know it doesn't work, and you try one more time, and you try to read the Bible. There's not much life in the Bible, and you try to say your prayers, but you know they don't go any further than the ceiling, and you wonder sometimes what's wrong. Maybe you're not born again. What a sad thing to find out when it's too late. So I risk the chance of making you feel uncomfortable and sticking my neck out here this evening to speak so strongly to you, because you know there's coming a day when it'll be too late, and if you find out when it's too late, it's too late. What the dear young people have been doing is just opening their hearts to the preaching and the teaching of the Word of God, the standard of what a New Testament Christian is. And they've been evaluating their life and their Christian experience in light of that and saying, I don't have that. I never had that. I never had it. And I don't have it now. Maybe that's what you need. Maybe you've been trying to live the Christian life without Christ. And by the way, that's a grievous burden to do, isn't it? To try to do this Christian thing without the life of God on the inside is a great burden. A great burden. Try to be a Christian without a new heart, like the Bible says. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature, a new creation. He's been given a new heart. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Like one of the students this week came to grips with the reality that he was not born again, and all the failure, and all the ups and downs, and all the wilderness, and all the rebellion, and all the sin was because he didn't have a new heart. Once he saw that young man began to weep before God. You know what he said to God? He said, God, give me a new heart. Give me a new heart, Lord. I'm tired of trying to do this thing. You know what? It's flowing ever since. It's just flowing ever since. And that's the way it's supposed to be. You just abide in the vine, and all that heavenly juice flows up through the vine and into the branches and out there where the fruit is, and the fruit just pushes out on the branches.
That's right. Praise God.
That's the way it's supposed to be. I just wonder where you're at tonight. I wonder what God would do if all of us in this meeting tonight got serious with God. I wonder what God would do. I think I know what God would do. I think I know. He just might shake this community once. He just might start saving souls all over this county. And all over the area where you live. He just might do that. God waits. He calls, and he calls, and he calls. And every now and then, there's one here or one there who gets that heart in tune. They begin to hear the voice of God calling them to be partakers of the divine nature, calling them out of the world. Amen. That's what the ecclesia is, by the way, the church. It is a called out assembly. It is an assembly of people who heard the voice of God and responded to the invitation. Come out of the world and come unto me. Come out of the world and come to be with my people. Come out of the world and come unto me, says God. And thus the ecclesia, the church. I don't know where you're at tonight. And the time is just zooming by. But you know what? It's not just the time in this meeting that's zooming by. Time is zooming by. It's zooming by. And that year turned into 5 years very fast, didn't it? And it does. It does. It just goes by. And you think, oh, maybe sometime later, maybe I get through this in my business and someday I'll get things right and I'm going to start really getting serious with God once this is done and that is done. My friend, time is just flying by. It's just flying by. Maybe you just simply left your first love like the church there at Ephesus did. You can look back to a time when you know without a shadow of a doubt that God saved your soul and sanctified you through and through, and you were excited about God and you were going forward with God. But now as you sit here tonight, that fire of love, that zeal for God is not there anymore. According to Revelation chapter 2, you have left your first love. And according to what I see in Revelation chapter 2, though it is good that you're doing the things that are right, though it's good that you're going to church, though it's good that you're standing for doctrine that is right, though it's good that you're doing some good works, if you have left your first love, God has something against you. And there's no time better than the present to just break your heart at an altar. And maybe even go back to a prayer room and break your heart to somebody else and say, I'm not right. It is the will of God that the church be the anointed, called out assemblies. God would have an anointed, called out assembly in every community, brothers and sisters. And you know as well as I do, that's far and few between to find an anointed, called out assembly. God is calling to us. God is calling to us. God is rejoicing over these young people for the decisions that they've made and the cleansings that they have found. But God is calling to us now. It's our turn as fathers and mothers. It's our turn. Even if you're a visitor here and you came to hear the singing, well, maybe you got a little bit more than what you came for. But I'm telling you, it was by God's divine appointment that He brought you here tonight. We've been praying all week that God would minister to you as a visitor deeply, not just bless you by hearing some good singing, but deal deeply down deep in your soul and help you to see where you really are with God. We've been praying like that all week. My dear people, there is deliverance with Jesus. He is a deliverer. And He can deliver you. I don't care what it is. I don't care what the bondage is in your life. He's a deliverer. But you have to come. You have to come. And just a little word to you young people yet. Scattered around. Some up here. Some in the back. God is still calling you. If somehow you've held out all the way to now, God is still calling you. But I want to warn you, it is not a light thing that you sat in the midst of all of this all week long and you walk out that door and go your own selfish way. I'm telling you, you have no idea what you're doing to do that. But God doesn't take those things lightly. You may fall flat on your nose when you get away from here and do things you never dreamed you would do. Why? Because God then finally says, all week long I have called unto them. I have stretched out my hands unto them, but they would not. Therefore, I will give them over to their own heart's lust to do their own imagination. And like our brother so beautifully described to us this morning, the potential to do all of that is in any one of us. Therefore, we desperately need the reality of a living God in our heart and our life every day. We all need that. We're going to have an invitation song here this evening. I don't know where Brother Roy is. Yes, Brother Roy. Do you have an invitation song that we can sing? We're going to sing number 899. You get your songbook out and open it up there. And then we're going to pray before we start singing. So get your songbooks out and just get all that settled. Yeah. $8.99 is the number. All right. Let's pray before we give the invitation and sing that song. God's been giving an invitation. From the time the young people started singing, He's been giving an invitation. So we're just going to give an invitation to go right along with all that God has been doing. But let's pray first. Can we do that? Voice of God calling. Yes, it's a still small voice. It's good to be quiet for a moment. Just to remind you that it's not Brother Denny, that it's the Spirit of God calling you, whoever you are. Oh Lord, have mercy on us tonight, God. Please, God. There are some hurting people in this room, Lord. Oh God, I pray. Do what only You can do and help them to get up and humble themselves and deal with whatever it is in their life, God. There's some hurting homes here, God. Oh, help the parents deal with their issues, God, tonight. Oh, Spirit of the Living God, fall afresh on this meeting tonight with convicting power, and shake and tremble the rebellious heart tonight. God, please, God, do that. I pray in Jesus Christ's name, I pray. Amen. Shall we sing? Shall we stand? You come now. Yes, God bless you. Come. come, my friend. Just keep singing. Come on. You in the back. It's a long walk, but come. That's right. Come, friend. Another verse. Visitor. Sing another verse. Go ahead. Coming from the back. You come all the way from the back. Amen. And we'll be done. Can you hear the voice of God calling?
heads for a moment. Silence. If you have a need, you just still come. You come. God has given us such a beautiful example this evening to show us what He can do in the hearts of those who are not right. That example is God's voice to each and every one of us as we're here. We need to respond to that voice. Let's just wait in silence for a moment. Let the Spirit of God deal with your heart. And if you need to, you come. You can come in the silence. God, we bow down to You. You are the one we heard about on Monday night. Sitting on a throne, whose eyes are as a flame of fire. God, we bow down to You. Forgive us, Lord. Forgive us. Just commit these that are on their knees to You, Lord God. And I commit all to You, God, into Your care. These words, Father, this message, God, this whole evening. I pray that You'll use it, God. Use it in the days ahead, in the hearts of each and every one of us, Father. I trust You for that, God. And I pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message. We trust that it has been a blessing to you. If you would like additional sermons or a catalog, please visit our website at effortofministries.org. Call us toll free at 855-557-7902 or write to us at Effort of Ministries, 400 West Main Street, Suite 1, Ephrata, Pennsylvania, 17522. You are welcome to copy this message for free distribution. This ministry is supported by your donations. May the Lord Jesus bless you.